Everyone, Graham Talks Pats. This is a first, I think. I don't think I've ever... I recorded yesterday on March 3rd. It's March 4th now. I think we're maybe even... My cough is still going on, but I think we're maybe 24 hours from the last episode. And I originally said I was going to, you know, wait until Friday to record, you know, an episode that focused more specifically on free agents with free agency coming up. But there was some news today with Stephon Diggs being released that I thought I could, I thought needed my immediate reaction. And I also figured to kind of tie those things together. And even though this was supposed to be a, you know, free agent specific talk, I'm going to start it. This will be a shorter episode because it's a second one of the week. But I do want to give my quick thoughts on Diggs, right? So the structure of Stephon Diggs' contract was really interesting to me. When they signed it last year, it was effectively like a three-year deal, but which is what it was, but it had a almost like a club option, so to speak, after year one with Diggs. They released him. They saved almost two-thirds of his contract after a year, which is very rare on a three-year deal. So the structure allowed them to cut him right away, which I don't think he would have made it through the entire contract regardless, even if he did play with the team in 2026. I don't think the likelihood of him being with the team in 2027, especially at that number, was very high at all. This, to me, strikes me as the sort of move where it's like, hey, we know what we have. We know Drake May is a stud, right? We know that we know our holes on this team. And Diggs, at this point, he's going to be 33 during the season. I don't think you want to necessarily rely on a player at that number while sacrificing the opportunity to get an A.J. Brown. Now, I said earlier that I think they need to add A.J. Brown or a player of his ilk and then still have a guy like Diggs on his roster so they can play a Batman and Robin sort of deal. You have Travion Henderson, Ramondre in the backfield with Hunter Henry down the seam at tight end. I think you really like that. What I would kind of sort of compare this to, and it's very different in a lot of ways, but when the Bills first hired Sean McDermott, they made the playoffs immediately, right? Like they were a wild card team off the rip with Tyrod Taylor. Then the next year, they trade Tyrod Taylor. They make a lot of moves to reset the roster because they lost in the wild card round. They knew that their ceiling wasn't as high as it could be, even though Sean McDermott did raise it significantly. And they draft Josh Allen and they start to build around him. So I think now, does that mean they're going to get rid of Drake May? Of course not, right? But what I mean by that sort of comparison is they say, hey, a guy like Diggs can bring us to the playoffs. He can get us so far. But if we really want to reach that next level as a team, you need to take these veterans who are expensive but very good players, and you need to find a way to upgrade them in some capacity. This cough is still killing me, but $57 million in cap space now after Diggs' release. That puts them seventh amongst all teams, so that's right ahead of free agency. They have plenty of money to spend. And the other piece that's interesting to me is I only have a couple more things to say about this Diggs situation before we move on to the free agents, but it's interesting to me because the Patriots were first in spending last year, and the last time they were first in spending was 2021, when it was that big free agency year where they brought in Hunter Henry, Matt Judon, Jonnu Smith, Jalen Mills, all these guys. And by year two, you know, that haul didn't look as good. Year two of that haul, I mean, by 2022, the haul didn't look as good, right, by the end of that 2022 season after they went 8-9. I actually don't think that's impossible for the Patriots, for that to happen to the Patriots next year with the new schedule and everything. But I think you need to look at the position New England's in and say, hey, what are the odds we actually spend big money? And I would have said before Diggs' release, not very high. You know, they were bottom five the year afterward in 2022 because they had spent so much money. And aside from cap space, Robert Kraft and the Krafts as a family, they only have a finite amount of actual money they can give to people, right? Unless they want to do what the Eagles owner did when they had to pay A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, and Saquon Barkley, and they have to sell off parts of the team. Now, that works if you literally win the Super Bowl that year, which is what the Eagles did. But because the value of the team rises enough to the point where he sold 8% on the team, that 92% that he had afterward was worth more, even after inflation, than it was when he had 100% of the team before. So there is some real – now, not saying the Crafts would do that or anything like that, but, like, if you want to spend – money, you need to save money in other places, and releasing Diggs was a way to do that. I think, you know, this gives them the opportunity, it gives them the flexibility to go after a guy like an A.J. Brown if he is available, even though they said that asking price was unserious, which it was rumored to be a first and a player, which I don't think is that unbelievable. But other people have said it's going to be more like a Quinnen Williams package where that first needs to be, like, you know, a top 20 pick, and the Patriots aren't going to have that more than likely, especially if they were to acquire A.J. Brown. So, you know, I think now you're at $57 million in cap space. I think that Trey Hendrickson's probably very much in the cards. I think, like I say, it likely is probably very much in the cards. I'm starting to think now that what you're going to see is you're going to see, after this Diggs release, you're going to see Christian Gonzalez get an extension. You potentially could see Trey Hendrickson come in. You could sign, like, a guard or somebody like that. Maybe you sign a tight end, a veteran tight end, so you can run a two tight end set at a little bit of a higher clip. You're going to extend Jalen Hawkins. You're going to extend Jack Gibbons. and then you're going to draft receiver in the first two rounds. And that's something that I'll talk a little bit more about with Thad in a couple days here. Once we get to Friday, it's Wednesday at almost 6 o'clock when I'm recording this, but... yeah, we'll get a little bit more into that side of things when we start talking about what the Patriots might do. We'll give one more sort of final mock off season for each squad, but there will be a lot to figure out. There's been rumors about DJ Moore potentially being a guy New England's interested in, lots of interesting pieces there. I think that. You know, in my last mock draft, I had Omar Cooper in the first round yesterday. So, it would have been kind of nice to see Omar Cooper with Diggs. But, you know, if you're rocking with Cooper, Kayshon Boutte, I would also be curious, does this mean a Kayshon Boutte extension is coming or a Pop Douglas extension is coming? I don't think that's impossible. I still would probably wait until the end of the year. But this is an aging roster, to say the least. Or a roster, I shouldn't say aging, but their contracts are aging. You've got Boutte with 1 year left on his deal, Pop Douglas with 1 year left on his deal, Mac Collins with 1 year left on his deal, and then the other two guys in Kyle Williams and Efton Chisholm. I don't know if combined they have even 15 catches. I don't think they do. Definitely less than 20 in their careers to this point. So, and that includes the postseason. So they're not guys I don't think you can rely on in full to this point. But yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that with Thad. But those are kind of my immediate thoughts on that. As we'll get into the Patriots free agents. So they've got only six unrestricted free agents. We'll start with them because that'll be the main piece that we see. That'll be the piece that's more interesting. So, you know... We'll start with the guy who I think is going to get the most money, and that's Kalyvon Chaisson. So I've written a couple articles about Chaisson. He had 10.5 sacks, including the postseason this season, by far his career high. 7.5 during the regular season. Had 2 sacks in that wild card game against the Chargers. I don't doubt that Kalyvon Chaisson's a good player, and I think his age is another thing that is a selling point for him. He's still only 26. I think that 99 times out of 100, those sort of guys who are these one-year wonders in your squad, in your scheme, in your defensive scheme, you don't re-sign. I just don't think that, I mean, Spotrac has him in at $9 million. If he was at $9 million, if that's really the contract that, you know, people think he's worth and that's what he gets, I'd have a little bit more room for that. But I think he's probably going to get closer to like, and I think actually even before I might have said that 10 to 12 million might have even been too much for Chaisson, although I wouldn't have been angry if they re-signed him for that. I think he's probably closer to that 12 to 18 range has been what I'm hearing, which is just way too high a rate for me. You know, that's the going rate for edge rushers nowadays, but I don't think that that's the sort of guy that you'd want to give a contract to at this point. I think that the Patriots need help on the edge, and I think bringing back Chaisson doesn't raise your ceiling because I don't know if he's going to get any better than he is. Even if he has 10.5 in the regular season instead of including the postseason, maybe include the postseason, he has 14, right? You know, does that help? Certainly, but I think there's guys like Trey Hendrickson on the market who you could just say, we're gonna sell out and we're going to get Trey Hendrickson. We're going to sell out and get Max Crosby. We're going to sell out and get one of these guys who is going to guarantee us this really high clip of production. And Chaisson isn't terrible against the run, but he isn't, I wouldn't say it's a plus of his game. If you got a guy like Max Crosby, they're double teaming him. He's still getting 10 sacks a year, and he's one of the best players in football, D tackle, edge, linebacker, whatever, against the run. So to me at edge, I'd kind of rather either sell out and get one of these top edge rushers like a Trey Hendrickson and Max Crosby. And honestly, I'd probably prefer Jonathan Greenard to him too. We talked a little bit about him on the last episode about how he's potentially going to be available. But yeah, I would probably lean no on Chaisson unless it was a sub $10 million deal in terms of his yearly value. You know, I wouldn't be angry if they re-signed him. He just strikes me as one of those guys that would go sign in, you know, in Arizona for, you know, 3 years and 51 million. This cough is killing me. 3 years and 51 million, and then he goes and, you know, a year into the contract, he gets cut. New England is able to pick him up on a prove it deal once again, and he, you know, can be a productive player for them that way. I just don't see much of a point in putting a lot of resources towards a player that only has one real year of production. Now, I say that, and this next guy, Jalen Hawkins, is kind of in the same boat. Hawkins was great this year. Spotrac has his value at $8.2 million. I've said that 7-9 feels like a fair range to him for him. He's 28.5, according to Spotrac as well. To me, I mean, you signed with a two-year deal. You have until he's 30. I don't mind that at all. I don't think he's going to have a market like Chaisson would where it's like, oh, all of a sudden he's hitting $20 million in this bidding war. I did see a report that I read about it, not a report, but an article from PFF saying that he was their top franchise tag candidate, which I don't know if I'd agree with. I think Chaisson is probably more likely of the two. But either way, I'm not franchising Jalen Hawkins. That would be $20 million that you'd have to commit towards him as a safety, or $18 million, I think, and they were saying he could get $20 million. If he's going to get $20 million, I will happily collect my third-round compensatory pick and draft someone else. We drafted Zaki Wheatley in the mock draft last night, I guess it would have been, last episode, to replace Hawkins. I don't think there's any need to pay a guy like him that much money. It makes no sense. But, I mean, 7 to 9 million, I think that's his more likely range. And I would love to bring him back for that. If you could get Hawkins back on 2 years, $16 million, I think that's a very fair contract. Have him and Woodson back there. Still probably add some support, add some depth into the safety room through a guy like Zaki Wheatley from Penn State. But that would be the sort of guy that I would be that's the probably the free agent that I'd most want to have back. And Jalen Hawkins. We'll move on to the guy who's probably going to get the third most money, and that's Kyrus Tonga. So Kyrus Tonga, we talked about it a little bit, how another guy who we replaced through Dominique Orange in the second round, the D-tackle out of Iowa State. What we've heard is that Kyrus Tonga might have a much more robust market in free agency than we originally thought. I think $4 million is fair for him. I don't think I'd go any higher than that just because the Patriots have proven they can develop these defensive linemen at a really high clip. Think about Corey Durden this year. He came out of nowhere, was a really, really good player. So I know Kyrus Tonga and Durden aren't in the same role where Tonga's more of a true nose, But even at that point, Joshua Farmer, can he just be your nose? You traded up for him last year in the fourth round. Can Eric Gregory, the UDFA, develop into a nose? Is that something you look to do? Can you just draft a guy in, you know, the mid rounds? If you really want to get crazy, and I wrote about this too in an article about Tongan, about his market, you know, could you potentially trade back out of the first round, acquire a few more picks, and then take Lee Hunter at the top of the second round, or take him at 31, 330-pounder out of Texas Tech. If Caleb Banks slides because of the injury concerns, which I think is unlikely to happen, do you take him? He's 6'6", 330. He's a massive human being. You know, we already talked about Dominique Orange, Big Citrus. Dante Corleone from Cincinnati. There's a couple options as far as replacing that nose tackle position. DJ Reader in free agency, Daquan Jones in free agency. Like there are guys to replace Tonga if his market is a lot bigger than expected. I don't think it's going to be more than $4 million, $5 million at the very most. And even then, I don't know if it'll reach that level. The other three undrafted free agents, Austin Hooper's the next one that I think will probably have some form of a market. He's going to be in the league next year. Only 16 catches during the regular season, if I'm not mistaken. I'll confirm that. But I just think they can do better. I understand re-signing him, absolutely. He had 21 catches during the regular season this year. My feeling about Hooper is 21 for 263 and two touchdowns. Can you do better at tight end too? In general, yes, but I wouldn't say it's worth overextending yourself for a second tight end. However, with the amount that the Patriots use 13 personnel, which is two tight ends and a fullback, if they want to continue to roll out in that sort of very Josh McDaniels, it's a formation that Josh McDaniels likes a lot. If they want to continue to roll out in that formation, then you're going to need a tight end that's at a higher level than Austin Hooper. And maybe that comes through the draft. Maybe that comes through a guy like Max Clair out of Ohio State in the draft and use a top 64 pick on someone like him. But to me, I'd argue what could be more beneficial would be signing a Dallas Goedert, who announced he won't be back with Philadelphia. Signing an Isaiah Likely, who, despite not looking the part of a guy who would be a really great blocking tight end, he's played in that Baltimore system as a second tight end before, and he's been really effective. You know, a guy like one of those two who can, you know, Cole Kmet, even if he were to get cut. We talk about it all the time, but Michael Mayer from Las Vegas. I think there are plenty of options to explore if you want to add a second tight end. And I wouldn't hate bringing Hooper back for $2 million. But I do think that it would be more of a statement if you let Hooper walk, bring in someone else and say, hey, we like Austin Hooper, but he's aging. We can do better than him. We're going to look elsewhere. The last two, I would say kind of go in the same boat, but Vedarian Lowe played pretty well towards the end of the season. Thayer Munford as well in there as a guy who's operated as a sixth offensive lineman, as that kind of jumbo fullback tight end, especially when Tonga missed some time at the end of the year. They're both 26. Lowe will have a more robust market because he's had stints as a true left tackle in place of Will Campbell, and you didn't really miss a beat with Lowe in there. I would like to bring him back. His market's $1.5 million, according to SpotTrack. I think it'll be higher. I think it'll probably be closer to 3 or 4. I wouldn't hate bringing him back, though. I do think that Lowe is a pretty standard swing tackle. You know, you probably do want to, I think ideally, if you could bring Lowe back on a deal worth 1 year, $3 million, you could have it worth up to like $8 million if you wanted to say, hey, if here's some insurance for you, if Will Campbell gets hurt and you have to play the whole year, then all of a sudden you can make some real cash, and potentially get paid even more. But to me, you know, somewhere in that $2 to $3 million range for Lowe, I'd feel comfortable giving to him. I think he was good, but I think during that time that Will Campbell's out, but I don't think he was anything crazy. You know, I think that's probably a decent move would be to bring him back. Thayer Munford, I think, regardless, love him, hate him, you know, I don't know why anyone would love or hate Thayer Munford necessarily, but, you know, Ohio State roots, you know, I think he's probably a guy who, you know, would be someone that you want to bring back, and at least work with him, see if he can be a more consistent, true tackle. I liked what he offered as an extra blocker, especially down there by the goal line in short yardage situations. But, you know, I think he's still only 26. The trenches are weird. Sometimes you get these guys, especially on the defensive line, you're talking about with Kyrus Tongas having a career year at almost 30 years old. You get a guy like Thayer Munford in there. You know, he continues to put on strength after years and years in the NFL, and all of a sudden you've got a pretty established extra offensive lineman slash swing tackle, and he's going to be super cheap. He'll be the veteran minimum, more or less. Maybe, you know, he'll be less than $1.5 million. So I wouldn't have any problem bringing him in to play that, you know, depth offensive lineman role. Had some solid stints, actually, there at right tackle. I think it was against Buffalo, maybe, where he had a pretty high PFF grade. I know, you know, you got to take PFF grades with a grain of salt a little bit, but he looked really good in some of those games. So that was definitely something that was pretty impressive on his part. So that's all the unrestricted free agents. They've listed Antonio Gibson, even though they've already cut him. So I think I came to the conclusion that Vedarian Lowe, Thayer Munford, Jalen Hawkins, Kyrus Tonga, actually. Kyrus Tonga, assuming his market isn't crazy, I don't want back. Austin Hooper, I'm fine with letting walk. Chaisson, I'd like to have back. Similar ilk as Tonga, and even Hawkins, for that matter. If it's not too expensive, I would like him back. But I think that more likely than not, Chaisson is probably going to be a guy that the Patriots let walk, or that history would tell you should let walk, based on just his limited production as a whole. Patriots also have a couple restricted free agents, and then we'll get on to the exclusive rights guys. Restricted free agents, there's actually some notable names here. We'll start with the least notable to get him out of the way. Yasir Durant, they signed. He actually was traded to the Patriots back in like 2021, I think. You know, played a handful of games, I think, as more than anything, just as a depth offensive lineman coming in, playing some special teams to on field goal units and whatnot. Was released later on, spent some time in the XFL or in the USFL, and was one of the best linemen in the USFL. The issue is that he's almost 28, and I don't know how much better he's really going to get at this point. And, you know, you've got guys like Marcus Bryant, you know, Caden Wallace seems like there's no shot he's going to be on the team next year. But in the event, for whatever reason that he is, you know, you're going to want to continue to work with him probably over Durant. I just mentioned bringing back Thayer Munford and Vedarian Lowe. So I don't think the use of like an RFA tender on Durant, it like really means anything. I think the odds of him making the roster are pretty low. And I think at the point where you're bringing in a guy like Durant or bringing back a guy like Durant, you probably just say, you know, we'll find a UDFA and see if they can do the same thing you can do, which is essentially just being a USFL player, which is fine. But, you know, you're obviously not making NFL money in that sense. The other guy is Jaqueline Roy. I have no idea what Jaqueline Roy's market's going to look like. Well, as far as will he get brought back by New England or not, he got hurt, I think, with a foot injury, I want to say. I could be wrong on that. Early in the offseason and was placed on IR and then was never heard from again. This was a guy, the same draft class as Kayshon Boutte. He was a fifth-round pick by the Vikings. I think he maybe played a year with the Vikings, but he might have even been released as a rookie. Let me take a look here. Jaqueline Roy. Fifth round of the 2023 NFL draft. Okay, so he spent his rookie year with the Vikings and then got released and sent to New England. So, yeah. Yeah, just, he had a sack on Tyler Huntley. I actually thought at different points, I actually think he has the potential to be a decent player, you know, during his time under Bill Bell, or under Jerron Mayo, rather. I thought he showed some ability. You know, I just think that the issue with a guy like Jaqueline Roy is, you know, I understand he's 25. I understand he's shown a little bit here and there. But, like, if you're Mike Vrabel, do you just say, hey, I want to bring in my own guys, you know, I want to see what they can do. I don't really feel the need to bring in Jaqueline Roy. So I really don't have an answer on whether or not Jaqueline Roy will likely or not likely come back. I would actually like him back. I had a little tweet on him a little while ago. And I also was pretty complimentary of him when I talked about him in the practice talked about him in an article where I just highlighted a bunch of guys on IR that the Patriots you know had there from the beginning of the year. Roy was a guy, I don't remember if I said this or not, but he was a guy in that Kayshon Boutte draft class, an LSU defensive tackle that was originally like before his final season at LSU, there were mocks that had him going top 10. And he's still only 25, so he's only like 2-3 years removed from being viewed as like one of the top collegiate players or top NFL prospects out of college. So, you know, there definitely could be something there. So, yeah, I mean, you got to be pretty excited about the prospect of having a guy like Roy in the building. Those are the type of guys a lot of times like Boutte who, you know, get drafted at the end of these drafts. So it would be a guy that I'd like to have back. And there's a guy that there's definitely a world I can imagine Vrabel wanting to have back and just be a guy that they want to continue to work with, especially given that he's only 25. But, you know, it wouldn't shock me if the feeling between my feeling about him and Vrabel's feeling isn't mutual and they just say, hey, we're going to move on. We're going to find someone that can offer something a little bit different. I said we were going to work in ascending order from least interesting to most interesting. Tommy DeVito's the next one. I think he'll probably be back just on the veteran minimum. I think he's about as good as a QB3 as you can get. The only exception to that would be if some team, you know, you look at, you know, maybe Tennessee, who has Brian Daboll now as the OC. Did they just say, hey, Tommy DeVito has worked with Brian Daboll before. Do they think he can be a better backup than whoever Tennessee has now? I don't even know who their backup is off the top of my head. Tennessee Titans depth chart. And they might be a free agent for all I know. But if, you know, if he's a guy that he'd rather work with as a backup, I mean, Will Levis, of course, Brandon Allen. Yeah, I mean, you might want to offer Tommy DeVito. If you want to throw him $2 million and say, hey, be our backup, maybe that's something that DeVito would be more interested in. You know, he is a restricted free agent, so the Patriots had the chance to match these offers, but you know, I don't think they'd match really anything over the veteran minimum. I think at that point they'd probably just opt to draft a QB. I had the Patriots drafting Drew Aller in the fourth round last night, or in our last episode. I keep saying last night. But I think that could be an interesting move. Should DeVito depart in free agency. But you know, assuming the offers are pretty minimal, I'd probably bring him back. I don't see a QB3 unless you want to go the rookie route. That would really be better. So yeah, I think DeVito, I'd feel pretty confident about wanting to bring him back. Alex Austin's another guy. He's not even 25 years old. He originally showed a lot of promise, I thought, as a young player. He's the sort of guy I could actually see New England parting ways with, who's a little bit more high profile as far as restricted free agents go. He had some good moments, especially like during the end of Belichick's tenure, where, you know, he comes on the scene as this rookie who, you know, they sign off the Houston practice squad, or I don't remember if they signed him off or if he got cut from the Houston practice squad. They sign him after he was a seventh-round pick by the Bills. And he turns into, like, he had a really nice interception against the Bills that year, and has shown he's proven, you know, to have had some solid production at different points. He'd be another guy I'd probably be inclined to bring back. I think you'd probably not tender him. I think you're probably just going to let him hit the open market and see, you know, if anyone wants to give him any weird deal where some team wants to throw Alex Austin $4 million, you say, you know what, go ahead and leave. But I'd imagine that, you know, Alex Austin's a veteran minimum sort of guy, and he would be a guy that I personally would say, yeah, you probably want him back. You want to keep working with him. He, you know, was hurt a lot of this offseason. I know PFF graded him as the lowest graded player on the entire team, but between his youth and I think flashes that he's shown in the past, you know, I think I like that a lot. And then the most high profile guy by far was Jack Gibbons, who was a restricted free agent. He was on $1.3 million last year. I don't think he'll really get over $2.5 or $3 million, if I had to guess. But there's a world where some team says, hey, backup linebacker for a team that played really, really well defensively down the stretch, here's $5 million, Jack Gibbons. And if that's the case, I probably would let him walk. I like him a lot, but I think he's very replaceable. I've talked about, you know, if he's going to get $5 million, at that point, you know, Leo Chenal, if he hits the open market, do you look to grab a guy like him? Troy Anderson, spectacular athlete, who's dealt with some injuries in Atlanta, former second-round pick out of Montana State. He's a guy I really, really like. I think he could, if nothing else, be a really good special teamer for you. So, Jack Gibbons, barring a higher value deal where it's upwards of, you know, $5 million, $5 million, $5.5 million, I would like back. But I probably wouldn't go over the $4 million mark for him. I would like Jack Gibbons back, just kind of similar to Chaisson, you know. His market might be a little bit bigger than we think. Same with Tonga. My market might be a little bit bigger than we think. You might in that case feel more comfortable letting him walk. So, so far the kind of bona fide walk guys that I have are Hooper, Chaisson with an asterisk. I just think he's going to cost too much money. I said Yasir Durant can probably go. Those are the three guys I'd say I'm like firmly like, yeah, we don't really need you anymore. Chaisson, I'd love him back, but I just think, you know, I think you need to be realistic and say he's probably not going to be getting 9 to 10 million. It's going to be, you know, 16, 18 million. In that case, I don't want him back. The last category is exclusive rights guys. Jack Westover is the most notable of the three. I think he probably will be back. I don't think that, you know, I think that you need an upgrade at fullback. It could be through Brock Lampe on the practice squad, the fullback at NIU. Good size, 6'1", 250, I think. He's a, you know, a sledgehammer in the run game. Lined up a lot as like an extra tight end for NIU as well. So maybe you opt to try to save a roster spot and say, hey, we're going to do what we did with Jack Westover, but we're going to have a better, more true fullback in Lampe and, see what we can do with him. Isaiah Eaton, I'm not actually sure how to say his name, but he actually, I thought, had some moments in preseason where he kind of shone a little bit. He shined a little bit. Still only 24 years old. I think he's a guy that you probably want to bring back. He spent a little bit of time in Tennessee towards the end of Vrabel's tenure as well. So I think he's the sort of guy that you probably want to continue to work with and say, hey, you know, what can we get out of you? I think that it's probably – that's the reason I was mentioning Jaquelin Roy, one of the restricted free agents, as a potential guy they don't bring back, is because – bringing in a guy like Eaton and bringing in a guy like Roy, like, they're kind of in that same sort of vein where it's like, hey, they're a year apart age-wise, you know, kind of play a similar role where it's like, all right, best case scenario, you're playing that Jeremiah Farms, Eric Gregory, like, last D-tackle on the roster. And at that point, maybe you just say, hey, wipe the slate clean, bring in a couple, you know, UDFAs and see what they can do. Deneric Prince, running back. He was a Tulsa guy coming out of college. He was on the roster for a whopping 2 days before being placed on IR. Another guy similar to Roy, actually, where I have no clue what his market is. I'd imagine, given that he was basically not given a chance at all last year, that he will just be back. I'd kind of imagine that is a possibility. At the same time, I feel like, you know, he's on the roster for 2 days. You want to upgrade at running back. You've got other guys coming off IR. You signed Elijah Mitchell. I'm kind of doing a 180 on this, actually. I actually don't think Prince will be back. You signed Elijah Mitchell to a futures deal. You got Lan Larrison coming back. You've got Terrell Jennings coming back. You got a bunch of draft picks that you're probably going to want to use on bringing in another back potentially. So, I don't think you have really a need for Deneric Prince. I understand he's 25. Maybe you want to see if he has anything. And, you know, it's a possibility, but, you know, with releasing Gibson and all, that, that RB3 slot is pretty open. So maybe you do bring him back, but I truly don't really have an answer for Prince. I don't think I missed anyone. So that should round out our free agent thoughts. So just to review, I said Austin Hooper, I personally don't really care for him to come back. I'd also probably say, as far as what the team will do, I think we're going to write this down, actually, so I can talk about this afterward. So Hooper was the first one. Let me edit this here. Hooper, I said no for myself. And I'm also going to say no for the team. I just think that you can probably do better than Austin Hooper. I think you can do better, and I think they're going to want better than Hooper, especially if they're looking to add a tight end in free agency rather than the draft, which is something that I kind of hope they opt to do. The next one's Chaisson. I'm going to say no because of that price tag. I'm going to say no. I'll put a little asterisk there because it is a price tag. Or I'll put a little dollar sign in parentheses because it is that price tag. And I also, I don't think New England will bring him back either. Tonga's a guy that I actually would like back. I think New England won't bring him back, though. I don't think they will. I think they like Tonga. But he's the sort of guy to me that I think is going to go sign elsewhere. And if it is like 2 years, $8 million, I'll be pretty disappointed that New England didn't match that. But, you know, if it's getting up towards like 2 and 12, I'll be like, all right, $6 million a year is a lot for a rotational defensive tackle who doesn't show a ton in the pass rush game and also is approaching 30. Like, I don't hate that. But I would like him back. I'm not confident he will be back. Hawkins, on the other hand, I think is yes across the board. I want him back. I think New England brings him back. I think that'll be a pretty happy situation for us as fans. And I think Lowe I would like back, as I mentioned. And it's tough. I think he'll come back. I don't think you're going to want to deviate from a guy who, as a swing tackle, who did some good work for you over the past little bit. So, or especially over the, even, you know, in his year starting as a left tackle, was it great? No. He picked up a lot of penalties, but he only allowed like 5 sacks all year. I think he's a fine swing tackle. And I think New England for, you know, $3 million feels pretty okay about bringing him back. Munford is yes across the board for me as well. Will he be on the team next year? I don't know. But I think it will be a guy who, you know, at least gets the opportunity to continue to compete in the camp. I'm going to put a little asterisk next to Tonga and say no. And it will be for less than we thought, given robust market reports. I said for Tonga, I still want him back, obviously, but I said no, but he'll still get paid less than what we think, given all the reports about him having a robust market. We'll move on to the restricted free agents. Gibbons, I do want back. And I also think he will come back. I don't think he'll get some nuts deal. I could see New England overpaying for him a little bit, though, which I hope doesn't happen because I think those sort of guys are really replaceable, even though I do like Gibbons. Alex Austin, I said it was kind of tough. I said I did want him back. I don't know if Vrabel's going to want him back. You look at Miles Battle, who didn't come back, who seemed like a pretty promising player at different points this year. Guy was on and off the practice squad, on and off the active roster. I don't think Alex Austin's going to come back, even though I kind of would like him back. Tommy DeVito's another guy. I think he probably will return. And I'd be perfectly fine with having him back. I said yes for him. This autocorrect's really getting me. It's a deviate for Tommy DeVito. And then Yasir Durant, I mentioned having no, I think no's across the board. I don't think it makes much sense to bring him back. Roy, I would actually probably say yes. I don't think he'll be back though. I think that might, he'll go to Miami or something, and then, you know, wash out of the league, I think is probably the more likely path for Roy. So that clears up the RFAs. And then the three exclusive rights guys were Prince, who I said no to wanting him back probably. And I honestly, I said IDK, just a general. I just put that designation rare. Where I really have no idea, given the news on the team for 2 days, if they want to continue to work with him or not. But I said no to him coming back and no from me wanting him back. I just think you can probably find a UDFA who does the same thing. Isaiah Eaton's another guy, Eaton. I would say he's a guy I would actually say yes and yes to. You know, he seems like the sort of guy that you probably just want to continue to work with. You worked with Vrabel before. And then Westover, do I want Westover back? No. But I do like the idea of retaining him on a veteran minimum deal and saying, hey, if push comes to shove and we can't find another fullback for God knows what reason, you know, you're at least on the roster, even if you're going to get cut at the beginning of July. So I probably would opt for yes on my end, which I don't remember if I said before. I think he will be back with the team next year, but I do think that you need to do better. So I'll put a little asterisk next to Westover too. Need to do better. Will be on the team, on the roster, I should say, not on the team, as insurance. Could be cut after the draft. All right. If they add a fullback. So I said it was going to be a shorter episode. It still ended up being 42 minutes. But, I wanted to tap on the mic, talk a little bit about these free agents before, you know, things really get going next week. You know, I'll have a more longer form chat with Thad about the broader NFL. I was talking to him the other day, actually, about potentially renaming the show from Tri-State Breakdown to just a more general NFL name. Because we do a lot of talk about just, like, general NFL stuff. I think, you know, the Patriots are in a solid spot, you know, as a whole. Especially now clearing up a little bit more cap going into free agency, cutting Diggs and Antonio Gibson. But like I said, well, it'll be fun to go over this next week and in a month, you know, over the next little bit to see what I got right as far as guys coming back or not coming back. So, it's been Graham Talks Pats. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to see free agency. Follow my Twitter, GrahamWilker1, GrahamWilker1 is in the number. Follow me on Twitter there. Also read my articles, Daily Campus and Fansided, Musket Fire. Give them a look. It's been fun talking to you guys. It's been Graham Talks Pats.